Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. The Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie is on the boards. We come to you every Saturday morning, as you might or might not know, from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. You can always give us a call to join in the discussion or ask a question or whatever at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's it going, Bushy?
Well, I got kind of a cold here, so I hope my voice holds out.
Give me that can of Lysol. I'm going to spray it on you.
I see everybody's all, yep. It's that cold and flu season, so.
Hey, Danny, I gotta make a quick thank you. Last week, I forgot that right towards the end of the show, remember I was talking about that I haven't seen that little, it was a little 4-inch tip up that attached to your rod, little flag that went up. And,
yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember the name or who made it or whatever. Well, a guy named Angelo called in and he gave me the name Strike Alert by Legacy Products. Now I was trying to look up Legacy Products and all they are medical supplies. That's all it is.
Why didn't you just Google Strike Alert?
I did that too. Nothing. Nothing came up for Strike Alert. It's vanished. It's gone.
You could do a couple different searches, mix it up a little bit. You got to get more creative.
I tried a lot of different ways in that.
You did?
And then on Legacy Products, there was like all kinds of ones to click on, you know. But everyone that I went to, and there was a lot. I mean, I must have sat on the computer for like a half an hour going through this. It was all medical stuff. Some of it was sound music stuff, you know, like, I don't know, headphones, whatever. I don't know. It was just a lot of other stuff.
Go to one of the major fishing, you know, outlets. I got friends who order all their stuff online.
They gave me all that stuff, too. Legacy Products on Amazon, on eBay, and all that stuff.
Not even just Legacy. Just go on and do general searches on ice fishing stuff. And it's automatic.
I didn't do that.
Type thing. Yeah, you
will try
find
it again.
I guarantee.
But I think you know. I know they're just not making it anymore, and I don't know why because it was a great product. But anyway, I want to thank Angelo for calling and letting me know.
So this is something where you'd put the rod down, but then the flag would come up, and when you get a bite, and then you fight it on the rod and reel.
Yes, you fight it on the rod and reel,
Rick,
which is nice.
Yeah. One of our trained technicians over at Smokey's Muskie Shop.
Yeah,
he makes them.
The little guys?
He makes his own system that's better than the ones that you buy, and he's going to actually give me one. He said he's going to make me one and bring it.
Bring it into the show. I'd like to see it.
That's what they use for, I think, walleyes and stuff like that.
Okay.
He's got it set up, and, yeah, he's talking exactly the same thing. The same day you were all
talking about it here,
he happened to swing by and was telling me about what he uses. So.
Yeah, I'd like to see what he's doing. I wish I could remember exactly how it was done. I try to make the darn things myself, but I got to let the listeners know, Danny, that during the show today, you know what's coming up on February 15th, 16th, and 17th is the Muskie Expo, the Milwaukee Muskie Expo, and that's held out at the Washington County State Fairgrounds out by West Bend. We've got six tickets to give away, so we've got three sets of two that we'll be giving away during the show today. So that's kind of neat. We also have some free subscriptions to Badger Sportsman Magazine to give away. You know, not just this week, but next week, the week after, we'll kind of
So what you're saying, Tom, is there's lots of reasons for people to be listening to us today.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we got good stuff going on today. So
you're gonna like make people answer a question?
No, I think we'll just Nick can say what if he wants, like the third caller, fifth caller, whatever. You know, he can.
But we're not saying that right now.
No, we're not saying that right now. Right.
Don't say anything. Don't say third caller right.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, not right now.
Next thing, lines will light up like Christmas.
Yeah, okay. They will.
I might make him answer a question if things are slow. Yeah,
you might if when I'm you bored, pick up the phone.
Give him a little trivia.
So, Danny and Nick, are you guys doing anything special for the Super Bowl tomorrow? Anything special?
I'm planning on watching the game, Tom.
Me too, yeah.
That's special.
That is special.
I mean, how special do you need?
Well, Nick, what are you doing
tomorrow? Are
supposed
to bake some cookies or something and have like a Tupperware party tomorrow?
If you want.
What kind of special thing are you doing, Tom?
Nothing. I was just telling Nick this morning I'd probably be watching it by myself the way I like it. If I'm watching
well, isn't
it with
that
one
special?
Of, yeah, if I'm watching it with one of my kids, that's fine. But otherwise, I like watching the game. Do you like watching and listening and that, you know?
You're watching with one of your kids?
No, I don't know. I might not.
You know,
I don't know yet.
My dad used to like watching TV with his boys growing up, and I figured out the only reason why. It was before remote controls were invented. And he'd say, change the channel. And we'd get up and do it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then my brother Tim, though, my dad always called him the ornery one. Well, Tim told me years later, he goes, you know, Dad was kind of bossy. I said, really?
Really?
He said, you just always listened. You know, I was the firstborn. I would just, you know, firstborn, you want to please, you want to do everything perfect. But he'd push back and go, get up and turn the TV channel yourself. You know, Dad didn't like that too much.
Oh, no.
And there were only three channels. Mm. I remember in the days of three channels?
Mm-hmm.
And then what Dad really hated is if you took the control and you just
went too fast. Yeah.
That really got him aggravated like you were going to wreck the control.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn it one at a time. Yeah. You don't have to go, you know. I don't think it ever wrecked anything turning the dial like that.
Was this a color TV?
No. Well, I remember watching the first.
Yeah, I think we got a color TV that still had the turn. Yeah, Mom had a rummage sale and made $600, and we bought our first color TV.
I remember watching the very first Super Bowl. It was in black and white. I remember we had that on black and white.
Max
on
McGee?
On a 19-inch
thing. I remember listening to the Ice Bowl on the radio, sitting in my room with the door closed, almost in tears, listening at age 8. And then we won. And I was still angry because my dad took my uncle and my 11-year-old cousin to the game, but he didn't take me.
Oh, yeah, you told us about that.
But I don't remember watching so much that Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I do specifically remember watching the second Super Bowl against the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember watching that in black and white. And the one play I remember was it was either Willie Wood or Herb Adderley picked the pass off.
Herb Adderley.
And ran it back in for the score.
Yep.
And that pretty much iced it.
See, I remember in that first Super Bowl, I remember we had it on. I mean, but I wasn't all into it then, you know. I wasn't like really paying attention, you know. I mean, but I remember it was on. I remember watching some of it and back and forth. Are you doing anything special?
Oh yeah, I got a couple of buddies coming over. My mom's gonna do like a pasta dish. But I got an interesting fact for you about the first Super Bowl. I always thought my dad would tell us this as a joke, but he would say, you know, Max McGee won the MVP in Super Bowl number one, and he did it hungover. He did it, and I
yeah,
always
I've
thought it
always
was
heard
a
of that.
Seven catches for 137 yards or something.
I went to the Packer Hall of Fame with my mom, and sure enough, there's a whole story about he didn't think he was gonna play.
Yeah, he was
right.
Out the
he
night
didn't
before.
Think he was gonna
Boyd
play.
Dollar was the
starter. Yeah,
and he rolled in at like 6 a.m. a.m. into the hotel lobby. He was like, I'm not playing, coach. It'll be totally fine. So he skipped curfew. So he was on no sleep, totally hung out. That's awesome.
And one of those catches was a one-hander.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck out, grabbed it, pulled it in. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the fastest guy either, you know. He wasn't all that nimble and fast. I mean, he was all right. But back then, you know, there were guys that were, you know, better, faster.
Like,
you know,
all those white wide receivers, they're deceptively fast.
what about Lance Allworth? What about Bambi? He was quick.
Bambi was quick. Don Beebe was quick.
Don Beebe was lightning.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think some other. Chris Collinsworth played for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He's an analyst now.
Yeah.
He was pretty fast back in his day. I watched him in the NFL Superstars. They used to have the NFL Superstars contest, which was really cool. Nowadays, with the big money and agents, they wouldn't do it because they wouldn't want to hurt themselves. But they'd have the NFL stars. I watched O.J. Simpson. I watched Daryl Green. I watched a number of different people. Phillip Epps of the Packers. And they would have almost like a little decathlon type setup.
Yeah, they would do all
where they'd have
things.
They'd have they'd have a 100-meter dash. They'd have like a 400. Back then it was 440, I believe. I don't think they even called it 400 meters, but they'd have the 100-yard dash and all these different competitions. And I remember watching the 100-yard dash, and Chris Collinsworth beat James Lofton. Well, Lofton had just gotten done with either the 400 or the 800, and he was pretty tired. And he said, they interviewed him after, and he said, well, I was a little tired. And he said, once Chris got those long legs going, you know, and Chris Collinsworth once said that when he was in high school, he was in a finals, and he was the only white guy in the state championship 100-yard dash final, and his brother was in the stands, and they're talking about who they should go with, and his brother said, go with the honky, and his brother, and he won it. Yeah, so he was That's pretty funny. Fast too.
That's funny. So your mom's making something, you guys aren't?
So I mean, I'll probably do dip. I make a jalapeno popper dip. That's it's pretty good. It's simple. Just kind of put it in the oven and leave it. But that's like my favorite dish she does. It's kind of a pasta bake. It's like a lasagna, but there's layers of ricotta cheese and meat sauce.
Oh, yeah, wow.
But then she'll put in like a layer. She'll put on the gut report. She'll have a layer of pesto in there. She'll put in a couple different types of cheese like mozzarella and parmesan. And she made it for Christmas, and I said, do you have a name for it yet? And she said she didn't, so I named it the Goodfella Special.
There you go. So you got to get the recipe for it. And if she wants, does she just wing this, or does she actually have something written down?
It's a little different every time. There's a base ingredient.
She wings it.
Speaking of food, guys, special thanks out to Al Shook and the Waukesha County Conservation group was at that banquet last night.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there were a lot of nice guns won. There were like four of us. Al won.
Yeah.
He won a shotgun.
And
that
you
he
didn't
wanted.
Win one?
No. Well, I was cheap, Tom. I took a page out of your playbook, and I only bought, you get three tickets for $20, and I put them all in one bucket. If you paid $200, you'd get 50 tickets.
Oh, wow.
And I got a feeling that the ones that are winning are the ones that are getting 50 tickets and sprinkling the infield heavily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they had some great firearms. The food was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Really good. Really good plate of food. So enjoyed being out there with those guys. Got some funny story. Table talk I'll share later.
All right.
I got some stories there. So.
Looking forward to it. Well, right now we're going to go to a quick break. There was a number of things I was going to say, but let us just leave it at this is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. Thanks for getting up this morning, drinking your coffee, drinking sea coffee, Garen. And,
Sergern.
Huh?
Yeah, ich trinke Kaffee, Sergern.
Wow, we're talking German here.
What's drinking coffee, Sergern?
Drinken Sie Kaffee, Garen. It says, do you like to drink or coffee gladly?
The technical translation,
it's a question,
is weird.
Do you like to drink coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, the Germans, okay, they kind of like, you know, do you drink coffee gladly? That's technically coffee gern. I think gern means gladly.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So now you learned something today.
All right. Well, that's it for today then.
Although I'm not going to say du bist so schön wie eine, du bist so schön wie eine Machen. You are as, wait, du bist, no, du bist so schön wie eine Blume. Du bist so schön wie eine Blume. That's
what
you are, as pretty as a flower.
You say
that's my
that
German,
too.
That's my pickup line if I meet some German chicks.
Oh.
I've remembered it for, well, let's see, how many years?
Since the wall came down?
44.
Since the wall came down.
That was going to be my big opportunity. I signed up for a newly opened Eastern European tour bus to Germany to meet some oppressed ex-communist girls. Gonna bring them some razors, though.
And some blue jeans.
Yeah, after blue the 6:15 break
steroids,
today.
They can join the swim team. Yeah.
After the 6:15 break, it'll be our last NFL football picking contest. So
thank God.
That's coming up. But right now, let's give away two tickets. If people stay, you know, tuned in early in the first half hour, we'll give away two tickets. Now, what phone call are you going to take there, Nick?
Whichever one I like best.
One you like. All right.
I think we're going to go caller. It's early. Caller number two.
All right.
Now, once you win two, you can't call back later during the show and expect to try to win another two. We're trying to.
Right.
We're sprinkling the infield, right?
Right.
The Muskie Expo wants to get a variety of people.
Yeah.
One sodbuster with all his cousins.
Yeah. The Milwaukee Muskie Expo is going to be out at the Washington County Fairgrounds. That's out by West Bend. And so we've got two free tickets to give away. So
Tom Neubauer will be at the Muskie Expo doing his casting demonstration.
No, did you know, Danny, that they're not remember last year they had the Muskie Expo on one side and the Fish X Expo on the other side?
Yeah.
They're not having the Fish X Expo anymore. They cut that out. So, I thought it was a great idea. I thought it would really go over. It didn't.
Oh.
It didn't go over. So now it's just the Muskie Expo.
Just the Muskie Schmoes.
Yep. So it's all the Muskie Schmoes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see all the guys walking with their pressed button-up shirts with the patches and the logos and their fancy hats. And they'll be walking around.
But you know one thing bad about muskie anglers, that they can't do that, let's say, like fly fishermen can do? Fly fishermen, they got a hat that can put little flies on it. Even bass guys can put like little poppers on a goofy hat, you know?
Right.
Whereas muskie guys can't have a 10-inch lure. Big lures hanging from their hat.
My only question is this, Tom. Who wants to have a lure hanging from their hat?
I don't know, but you've seen that before, right?
Yeah.
You know, they get the round sun hats or whatever they are. They're not like baseball hats. And then they, like the fly guys, they got different flies in them.
Yeah, but, you know, those round hats aren't cool anyway.
Well, no, not anymore. But
it's all about looking cool, Tom. You got to wear a baseball-style hat with a brim. And you got to kind of like you have your brim formed perfectly cupped. You can't
like
have it.
Like yours, too. You got to cup
it. Like the rappers, they like to have it big and flat, kind of coming up, looking stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Or backwards.
We used to joke about, backwards is okay. But we used to joke about, you know, like, that would look like kind of a farmer, you know, a farmer wearing a big hat with the brim going straight out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that we don't like farmers, but my dad was a farmer.
Yeah, years ago, I knew this guy. He came over he was from the Middle East someplace, you know, and he asked me one day, he's pointing at the bill of my cap, you know, and he says, "Why you have this?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "This, why you have this?"
Keeps the sun out of
and
my
I
eyes.
And I says, "Keeps the sun out of the eyes." And he says, "Then why do I see people with it on backwards?" He says, "It's not working. It's not keeping sun out the vice." And I said, "Well, that's just the style, you know." But he was confused why people wore it backwards because it's not doing
what
it's.
We used to do it in the gym back in the 80s.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
70s.
From this guy from another country, you know, different part of the world, thought it was strange that if you have a bill on your cap to keep the sun out of your eyes, why would you wear it backwards?
Yeah, sometimes it just kind of keeps the hair just right. You put it on backwards like that, it pulls the hair off the top of your forehead, onto the top of your cranium, Tom.
Well, we know what it does, but all I was saying was he thought it was strange, you know, because he was very, like, like if you have a bill on your hat, why would you wear it backwards? You know, I mean, if it's there for a reason, why would you not use it for that reason? You know, he just from a different culture,
yeah,
different thing.
Know.
You know, he was just like he'd ask a lot of questions like that. You know?
I told a buddy of mine once, "You're so ugly, you ought to shave your back and walk backwards." So, I mean, that would be perfect. You could have.
Oh my!
When you were born, you were so ugly. They slapped your mama instead of you.
Yeah, that was a. Wasn't that a Rodney Dangerfield joke, I think?
I don't know.
He was hilarious. I liked him.
You were so ugly, they threw you out and kept the afterbirth?
Oh, God. I don't think I heard that.
There's some bad jokes. I heard it as a kid.
But anyway, at that Milwaukee Muskie Expo, which is going to be on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, kids 16 and under get in free. They got over 70 exhibitors. I'm just looking through. They got a bunch of seminars. I'm going to have to check it out and find out how many, who's going to be speaking out there. But they have, what's really nice out there is they got free parking, which is really great. They got free parking. And so,
speaking
anyway.
Your language here, Tom.
Yep, free parking. And they got a lot of parking there, and it's close to the doors. So unless you get there late, then it's further away. But yeah, it's a nice venue, though.
Speaking of venues, again, today, there's going to be another fishery out at the waterfront in Pewaukee.
Yeah.
Every Saturday they pretty much got them now. I do not know which one is going to be today.
Mm-hmm.
Weather's getting warmer, so you can get out there now.
Nice weekend.
I drilled holes in front of my place last week on both Saturday and Sunday and caught nothing.
Hmm.
Told you the week before.
Right.
I got
no more muskies out there.
No more muskies. One kind of strange thing on Pewaukee, though, Tom. When I'm drilling holes, bitter cold on Saturday and Sunday, plenty of ice, but there's, in the deep snow, there's a layer of open water underneath the snow on top of the ice.
Yeah, my son ran into that last
week,
Sunday.
And so when you drill the holes, you'll actually have your tip up almost like floating on water. So I don't know what is causing that. I know sometimes you hear if the ice sags under heavy snow, but there wasn't even that much ice. So I don't know if it has something to do with the dam there on the east end of Pewaukee getting kind of...
little flowing water or something.
But there's definitely a flow, and the water is not as clear. When you put your head down, I always try and stare down the hole to see what I can see.
Right.
And it seems like I have better luck for pike. When you look down and it's crystal clear and I can see the weeds, and I don't know if that murk and stuff, I don't know.
Huh.
But if I'm thinking of moving spots or not fishing at all because I don't catch anything, I might say screw it.
Well, after the gut report, which is coming up here in just a minute or two, when you talked about looking through the holes, you know, I got a great story. A guy told me about when he was looking through some holes this last weekend and what he saw. So I'll tell that after the gut report. All right. Are you ready, Nick, for this? Okay. And I got another venison recipe today.
Hey,
I was experimenting again.
All right, Tom.
And I like doing that. So anyway, we got the gut report coming up. Don't forget, after the 6:45 break, we have the Hornswoggle.
Sponsored by
Carl's Country Markets.
Okay.
Yeah,
just,
I remember.
Just checking. Just testing you,
just,
Thomas.
Yeah, just checking. Anyway, and we got a lot coming up, and I'm going to tell you about what this guy saw through the ice holes on last weekend. So,
fishing and hunting stories we got going today.
We got
beer
a lot
talk.
Of stuff.
It's beer talk Saturday.
Yeah, beer. If we had some beer, that'd even be better. Anyway, we'll be right
stories
back, folks.
Stories would be better. Good for my sore throat, I tell you.
Okay, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, folks, here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, here's a venison recipe, folks. You know, I like to try different things and whatever. So what I did was I took of this wonderful venison that Bushy gave me, and I took about 4 or 5 strips of bacon, fried that up, crumbled it, put it on the side. Then in the bacon fat, I put in onions and mushrooms and fried that up, and then threw in chunks of venison, you know, like diced, you know, I don't know, 1-inch chunks, whatever. Put that in there, cooked that for a few minutes in there. Then, I mean, how can you go wrong with mushrooms, onions, bacon, venison? And then I threw in a dollop or two of sour cream and stirred that all around, I'll tell you, I was in heaven. I'll tell you, and I didn't share it with anybody. Now, I didn't give you exact amounts and proportions, but you can figure that out yourself, you know, on what how much you like of this or that or whatever. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young
just
man.
Just going to have to bear with you.
Oh, I didn't know if this was the long one or not.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 hunting, fishing report. As far as fishing reports, Tom, it's been kind of a slow winter as far as ice fishing overall. Now, I know some people are always catching fish somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you, I got that story for you.
Okay, tell me the
guy
story.
Looking through the ice holes. He was on Delavan Lake. And, you know, on the south end of Delavan Lake, there's the two bays, okay, one on each side of the point. And it's always a good place in wintertime and springtime. Always a lot of bluegills, crappies, whatever. So this guy, he's not catching anything, and he's wondering, what, you know, this is supposed to be good, right? This was Sunday. I think it was Saturday or Sunday last
right.
week. So he sticks his head down to look like you like to do, like we all like to do, look down in the hole and see what's down there. And he said the water was pretty clear in that. He said he saw these big crappies, big bluegills, big largemouth bass swimming by, and not one of them would touch anything that he had out. He had tip-ups out, and he was jigging and all that. He said he's watching them swim by, but they're not biting it. He says there's plenty of fish there. They just weren't biting. He eventually did catch. He decided to put a crappie minnow on his jig rod, and he did catch a 17-inch largemouth on that. But he said it was just frustrating to see all these fish going by and not being able to catch one, you know, that they were all over the place. So they're there, but they must have been in a really negative mood. Why? I don't know. And my son Nick, he was out on Sunday. Him and his brother-in-law and nephew went out at 3 p.m. That was a cold day Sunday. Sunday was cold. It was below zero.
I know. I
he went out.
Drilled some holes.
Yeah,
and
he went out. They went out at 3 p.m.
That's why I'm sick.
And they stayed out till midnight. Because he figured, because he's seen people catch crappies in these areas. Now, he didn't set up any tip-ups because he said the hole would have frozen so fast, froze over. He said
there,
that didn't pay.
There ain't a crappie in the world
that
big enough that's going to keep my sorry self out till midnight on a cold winter day.
He's a diehard. He really gets into it, whether it's summer fishing, ice fishing, deer hunting. He goes all out. Well, anyway, they were out moving around, sitting in their shanties with their heaters on, so they were fine and toasty. But he said he caught a lot of bluegills, but none of them really big enough to keep. He said so. It was just one. I don't know. And he didn't catch any crappies in the areas that everybody catches crappies in. So did the weather have something to do with it? The cold weather? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you were talking about fish not hitting, and you watch them swim by. I've told this story before on the air that years ago I went out to Lower Genesee because I heard about giant pike in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I fished out there a couple weekends in a row. And one particular day, I got like 3 flags in the morning. And I'd come up and maybe 10 feet of line would be run off. And the shiner would be there with some missing scales. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on? So finally at about noon, I pulled my portable fish trap shanty over, flipped the lid over, and mm-hmm. I could see perfectly down,
mm-hmm.
crystal clear. And here comes a pike, about a 32 inch or something like that. He comes through like a torpedo. He nips the shiner. The flag pops up at my feet, about pokes my eye out because I'm, you know, looking down.
Mm-hmm.
And the pike just keeps going.
You just nipped at it and
nipped
went.
It, tripped it. So I set it up again. 5 minutes later, same pike comes through from the other direction, nips it, lets it go. About an hour later, I have a another pike, about a 28-incher, comes through and does the same thing. Now, water there was extraordinarily clear. It was prior to the fluorocarbon leaders days. And I have heard of certain situations, and I'm sure some of our listeners would attest to it, my brother does, where there are certain situations where the normally pike, you figure you could have a, you know, a telephone cable on your, you know, it doesn't matter. They'll just grab whatever, right? Where they can be finicky, and using a fluorocarbon and a small little treble and going finesse for pike. And I'm convinced that that's what I would have needed to do back then to get one. And then one of the coolest things, Tom, was about a week later I was out there. And I went one night after school, late in the season, and I rushed home from work, went out there for, I figured I'd set up for an hour. And I was kind of hung up on looking through the hole.
Yeah.
So I had, I think, only one tip up out, but it was in my shanty so I could look down. And I had a big giant sucker that I put on. And it was really cool because I was maybe in about 15 feet of water and there were some green weeds down there. And all of a sudden, it was almost like a mirage, like I was imagining it. I thought I saw something lurking down below and slowly materializing in front of my eyes. And swear to God, it was a giant pike. I mean, it took my breath away. I was kind of like, and I froze. I didn't want to move. And it slowly came on up underneath the sucker. And I just caught, probably a couple years before I'd caught a 22-pound, 43-incher. This was at least that big. At least that big. My guess, 44, 45-inch pike. Huge. Round. I mean, it was fat. And it just kind of looked at that sucker, and then it just cruised on through like a Trident submarine and just disappeared slowly, never grabbed the sucker. Yeah. But it was cool just seeing it.
Well, you know,
That's what they do in Minnesota, to interrupt Minnesota. Yeah. That would have been prime decoy the spear type
thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they still do that there, you know?
They do. In fact, do you know what they call the musky-sized suckers that we use here for muskies? They actually call those decoys. The bait shops call those decoy suckers because the spears will go out with a giant sucker like that.
Yeah.
Put that underneath, kind of like sturgeon guys do with the decoys that aren't live, but they call the live suckers decoys, and they spear the big pike that way.
Yeah.
And they still allow it. Now, having watched my brother spear a sturgeon, I didn't watch him spear it. I watched him one day, and we had one small one go through, and the next day he did get one. I can see how it probably would be kind of cool to spear a big pike through the ice. And I know I'm speaking sacrilegious now because for 99.9% of my life, I would say nobody should be spearing big pikes, save those for the hook and line anglers. But I can kind of see how it would be kind of cool. And in Minnesota in particular, they're doing it on big bodies of water like Lake of the Woods and some other big bodies of water. I don't think it's particularly caused great harm in Minnesota. I think if you want to catch a big pike, in fact, Minnesota's done a better job of protecting the big pike on Lake of the Woods back when in 98 when they instituted a slot limit, which they won't do on the Bay of Green Bay for some stupid reason.
Anyway, you go get them, Daddy. Get them. Holler at them.
Yeah. So I can see how it would be cool. Speaking of slot limits and good biologists, I bumped into Ben.
Yeah.
Ben Heisner was at the...
Waterfront?
Not the waterfront. The Conservation League thing last night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so I talked to him, and I told him he's got to come back on the show sometime, so he said that'd be great.
That would be good,
He's been doing a good job of working with the Walleyes for Tomorrow Clubs and changing some things up, trying some different limits and stuff. So I just wish those biologists up in Green Bay would listen.
I agree. All right, we got to go to a break. Folks, coming up next is the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Carl's Country Markets out there in Menominee Falls on the corners of Pilgrim and Silver Spring. They're really known for all their sausages, award-winning sausages, but they've got everything else there that you're going to need, especially for the Super Bowl party that you might be getting some extra special stuff for. Anyway, visit Carl's Country Market, and the winner of the Hornswoggle is going to get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market. So call now, be a contestant. Danny's getting his questions ready. 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie's going to take your phone calls right now. Stay tuned for more.
We're hot. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. And now we have our Hornswoggle segment. So, Nick, do we have a lucky contestant here?
We do. Our friend Mike called in from West Allis.
Okay, Mike, how are you doing?
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, all right, so here we go. What I say is a lie, then basically it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm speaking the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. Today's topic is snakes. So here we go.
Snakes!
We're going to talk about snakes. Here
on
we go.
On an airplane?
Yeah, snakes on planes.
I hate snakes, Jock. Yeah. I hate them.
Garter snakes. The common garter snakes are actually not native to the United States. They were brought over by the Jamestown colonists to control mice on the boats.
That is a Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle.
That's a good question, Danny. It made you think a little bit. Yeah,
I saw you kind of your eyes were kind of like cross-eyed over there. The copperhead snake. The copperhead snake, unlike the rattlesnake, is almost more dangerous in the woods because it won't raise its head and rattle and give you a warning. It just lays flat in the weeds, waiting for something to run by it that it can nail. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That is a no Hornswoggle.
A no Hornswoggle.
All right, you're on your snakes, Mike.
I walked right over one time in college. I missed it by 1 foot. I stepped right over the son of a gun. Whoo, my buddy DeLuca goes, Bush, and he points, and there it was, laying there silently in the grass. Yep, I might be dead. You wouldn't have me here right now. Okay, you're 2 out of 3, but let's see if you would have get the last one anyway. There are no rattlesnakes in Wisconsin.
That is a no Hornswoggle.
No, that's that's a Hornswoggle.
Oh,
there's two
I see
species.
How you do it.
There's
yeah.
two species.
There are rattlesnakes
yeah,
in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but you won. So anyway, what's he win, Tom?
Well, Mike, you know you get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Markets. Have you ever been out there?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have. That's
they
great.
Have, yeah, they have very good. They have a sausage with garlic. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of other stuff, too. That's good.
Yeah, did you ever look at all those plaques that line that place, all those awards they've won?
No.
It's amazing. Yeah, next time you go in there, just look up, and they're lining the whole shop.
Go to the gas station next door and look at the giant fish on the that they've caught too. There's some monsters.
I've been in that gas station for free popcorn.
Yay!
yeah, that's what I like about it, the free popcorn.
Right away, I knew Tom would like that. So,
all right, thanks, Mike.
All right,
thanks for listening, Mike.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
I watched Larry Smith, and this was probably about 2 months ago, and he had it. I don't know where he was, but he was ice fishing. He was using whole hot dogs for northern pike.
Yeah, we talked about that after the following week and after we saw it. And wasn't that amazing? I mean, you know, they would catch a pike and a hot dog would be down the pike's mouth.
The
you
only
know?
Hit on the Made in America hot dogs, not the Chinese-made ones.
Well, he held up, it was Shermake, I think, hot dogs. I don't know if you have to use that brand, but that was amazing, wasn't it, Mike?
That's unreal.
That was just the weirdest.
I've never heard of that, never seen it.
I know, but they really did do it. I mean, it was no joke. It was no joke, yeah.
I wonder if you go for giant ones, you go with a whole summer sausage, like if you go up to Canada.
You got to get it at Carl's.
Yeah, there we go.
You got to get it at Carl's. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a nice day, guys.
You too. Yep. Bye now. And Nick told me that a caller called and said when I was talking about that strike alert tip-up thing that you attach to your rod, the guy said he thought it was a tip down. No, I know what a tip down is. It's nothing. This little thing was only about 4 inches long and it attached to your rod. So no, tip down. Actually, tip downs are really, really popular, you know, and HT Enterprises makes a tip down and tip up. You can use it either or. And it's basically the same price as if you'd buy just a tip down or a tip up, but it's got both of them in one that you could use it either way, you know, which is kind of cool. You know, you can use it depending on how the fish are biting and all that, but tip downs, they're more and more popular. You know, when the first time I saw one of those, Danny, was, I'm not exaggerating here, it had to be in the mid-80s. Was the mid-late 80s when I first saw a tip down on Winnebago. And when the guy was setting it up, I'm thinking, what kind of stupid outfit is this? This ain't no tip up. How stupid it is, but it worked. You know, so it's pretty interesting. Anyway, so.
Let's see. Wolf. Remember last week I was telling you that a wolf had been shot up in Waupaca area?
Yeah, yeah.
That they found it had been hit by a car, right. And then they found a bullet hole.
Yeah.
Well, in Wisconsin Outdoor News, they actually have an article about that. And right now, game wardens are asking the public for help in locating the suspect. I got news for you.
You ain't going to find the person.
Nobody's going to call in and say, oh, I know the guy that shot the wolf.
No.
Nobody cares.
They're going to send the guy a case of beer.
Right.
For shooting.
Why are we even trying to investigate it?
Yeah.
There's too many wolves anyway.
Just let it go, let DNR. Let it go.
Get it mounted.
Exactly.
Yeah, put it in a museum.
Yeah, put it in a DNR museum.
Make a rug.
Yeah.
Put it on your wall of shame display.
There you go.
With a sign, we're still looking for this
guy. We're still looking
for this
guy.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. Who do you got on the line, Nick?
We got our old pal, Rich.
Oh. Hi, Rich. Good morning. How you doing today?
Hey, good. I know the guy who shot the wolf.
Hey!
You're talking about the trivia on the snakes earlier. Do you guys remember back in the 60s that Wisconsin had a bounty on rattlesnakes?
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, a long time ago, they had a bounty on them. Yeah, especially over by the Mississippi River in southeastern Wisconsin. Yeah,
or southwestern. The area had, it's not a water moccasin, but they turn them as water moccasins.
It's a water snake.
Oh, there's a pygmy rattler, I believe.
Yeah, I've seen one up close and personal. On the Mississippi River. Not a rattlesnake. It was it was some type of water snake.
Oh, what type of water snake you guys talking about then?
They had a bounty
on those too, you're saying?
No, I don't know about that.
Water snakes can be really aggressive regardless.
Oh, God, yeah.
Whether they're not, poisonous or not. But, yeah, I have read articles there about bounties on the snakes and now they're protected, of course. And I've never seen one in Wisconsin, but I would like to.
Yeah. Well,
not up hand and close, but
not that close.
I'm going to be heading to Madison tomorrow. I'll let you know how we did on fishing next week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Okay.
Bye now. You know, I was fishing a bass tournament on the Mississippi River, and we were in one of the backwater sloughs, and I made an errant cast, and the lure was in a tree, right? Low-hanging branches. And I went over, and I'm pulling, trying to get it off. It finally came off, but also what fell out of that branch, which I never saw, you know, because they, like, blend in, this damn about a 3-foot snake falls in the water. Then it swims at the boat, and I had a bass boat at the time. It swims, and it's trying to get up the side, but it couldn't make it, so it was wiggling its way all the way to the back of the boat, and I knew for a fact that if it got to the back of the boat, it'd probably get over that transom because that was a lot lower in the water.
Right.
Boy, I hit that electric motor in high and started going like heck to get away from there. It was some kind of water snake that's up there, and then they lay in the trees and whatever.
I actually saw a garter snake last summer in a small bush along a creek. It had actually climbed up about 3 feet, and it was kind of laying in the bush up there, kind of chilling. And then there was another one laying on the ground. So, yeah, snakes can climb.
Up by Washington Island, when you get away from, up in Door County, when you go on that ferry over to Washington Island. And then we got some boats there, and we were fishing for the smallies. And I think it was Plum Island or Detroit Island. You know, they got a bunch of little islands out there. And we thought we thought they were sticks laying on the sand.
Right.
They weren't sticks. They were snakes. And if you got close, they would actually swim out to your boat. And one of them came over our back end And the guy I was with was from that area. He grabbed an oar because we had a rowboats basically, and he starts pounding away. He was really afraid of snakes. The snake eventually got out of the boat, and we got the heck out of Dodge. But yeah, so you got to watch out for it. I mean, I don't know if they're poisonous or not, but I wouldn't want to get bit by one anyway, no matter what.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.